But before we get started with our talk this morning, I just want to acknowledge and thank Pam for being the conduit of a gift from Brian LeBlanc, in memory of Brian LeBlanc. We are updating some of our technology. So we have a new computer, which works way better than what we have been working with. And little by little, we'll be stepping up a few things here. And so that actually has to do with me standing here. I actually like reaching from here, and I feel more part of you guys. But this mic does not record as well as that one. And so for the next series, I'll probably go back up in there for a little while. We may just switch it up, keep all of us on our toes. But anyway, this is our last sermon in this series on Life in the Vine. Nancy is here wearing vines on her sweater. I feel like she... I didn't tell her ahead of time. She must be listening to the Holy Spirit, Nancy. Let's recap a little bit. We've been talking about Jesus is the vine and we're the branches, and we've been kind of building, progressively building a trellis, also known as the rule of life. The trellis sounds better. What are the other areas of life that we've talked about so far? Treasure? Yep, that was last week.
Wasting time.
That's how I wrote it.
Temple,
which is our bodies, and what was the other one? What? That's today. Trust, yeah, which was relationships. Okay, so we've been kind of picking apart all the different aspects of our lives. Today we're talking about talent, but what do we mean by talent?
A gift that we can contribute.
What's that?
Our talents, like our gifts that we can contribute, our
talent
points.
Yeah, our talents, our gifts that we can contribute. What are some of the, so we've talked about spiritual gifts before, right? And some of us have taken the spirit, right? And we also have natural talents. Everybody has natural talents. And we also have in our lives, because we're trying to encompass all of our lives in this series, right? And so we also have just our work, the activities that we're responsible for. Sometimes we are very talented in those. Sometimes we're stuck doing things we maybe don't like to do, but we're still responsible for them, like maybe going to school. They do. Oh, okay. So we have sort of three different categories that all fall into this bigger category of talents: spiritual gifts, natural talents, and the activities that we are responsible for. And just like all of the other areas that are supported by this trellis that we've been building, all of these things, our abilities, our talents, our gifts, our activities, also belong to God. And they are given to us to steward, like we talked about last week. There is not any part of our lives that God is not interested in, that God does not care about, and that he doesn't want to have control over. Not in a, like, mean, micromanaging, controlling kind of way, but he wants us to willingly give him all of these things to kind of take the load off a little bit from us. His yoke is easy, remember? So we are going to include all of this final talk kind of wraps up all the rest of the pieces of our lives to include in our trellis. Who in here has taken the spiritual gifts inventory either last year or this year? Okay, that's a pretty good number. Do you don't have to yell about it, but do you remember what your gifts were?
Yeah. Administration.
The two administrators that only have two. So, It is very hard. I am not one. So, how do you feel about the gifts that you discovered in here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Starts a lot.
Yeah.
Explains a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I think. So I just want to say this again. I said this before, but I want to say it again. This spiritual gifts inventory that we there are many of them out there. None of them are infallible. None of them have a complete list of all the gifts. And none of them are perfect in the way that they kind of uncover what your gifts are. So if you took one and you're like, it might be right and you just haven't had a chance to exercise your gift yet, or it might be totally off base. You don't really need to think about it. But it is helpful to have sort of a rough guess or estimation of what kind of gifts we have in our church. And yes, ma'am?
If absolutely nothing else, it confirmed what I thought I was not gifted in.
I confirmed what I thought I was not gifted in. Well, that's important too. Yeah, it actually did that for me too. So, I just want to say that if you haven't taken it and you're curious and you want to try it out, that's fine. We can do this whenever. I made a graph of the gifts that I know about based on your tests. So these are, the green is what everybody has as their primary gift, how many people we have that we know of. And the yellow are the sort of secondary ones that I was aware of. And we are missing two, according to this list, where nobody in this church has them. So either that's a problem with the inventory, or we need to pray for these people. Or maybe both. What are they? They are apostleship and prophecy. And I actually think the apostleship one, when I have taken other inventories, I have that one, and I did with this one, so I don't know what that means. But anyway. I do think those are, I mean, all of the gifts are gifts of the Spirit. They're all important. And so we should be praying for God to bless our church with all of the gifts. What is the difference, though? We talked about this a little before. What is the difference between a spiritual gift and a natural talent? They all come from God, right? You like to do the natural talent, but you don't like to do the spiritual talent.
You
need
natural talent or less religiously oriented, like some people are really good cooks, and sometimes that works out. Sometimes they don't.
Okay, so yeah, natural. Well, so I think related to that, a natural talent is everybody has natural talents. Every human being has a natural talent. A spiritual gift is actually a supernatural gift that you receive when you have committed to entering into the life of Christ. Whether, however you want to describe it, following Jesus or asking Jesus into your heart, or when you make that decision, the Holy Spirit comes in and fuses with your spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us connect to God and helps us to live Christ's life out into the world. And to do that, the Spirit gives us special gifts to enable us to build up the church so that the church can love our neighbors. So honestly, all of our natural talents can also be used and should ultimately, if we're living the Christ life, they should ultimately be used under Christ's authority, but they may not be religiously used. You can still use them in other contexts. And you can use your spiritual gifts in other contexts too. Even though the spiritual gifts are supernaturally given by the Holy Spirit, like our natural talents, they take a while to develop. They develop over time. So like I used this analogy before, I don't know if there's anyone else in here besides me called the Life of X-Men, but the X-Men are mutants. They're human mutants, and they have these superpowers, but none of them knows how to use them right at first. And so they have to go to Professor X's school so they can learn how to use them appropriately. And spiritual gifts are kind of like that. We don't immediately magically get this superpower, and we can just automatically know how to use it. It takes time to develop. develop some, one of the gifts is the gift of knowledge. If you're a brand new Christian and you have read the Bible maybe a couple of pieces of it a few times, you don't have the knowledge, but you might have the gift of knowledge, so you need to get more knowledge so you can understand the gift. So our gifts, all of our gifts, spiritual gifts, natural talents, and even our jobs, our school, the different things that we have to, the activities we're responsible for, are things that we have to develop, things that we have to practice. But our gifts came from God, all of them, even our activities that we may be, they may be short-term activities. You might have a job for a while and then you don't need to have that job anymore. But everything that we've been given to do, we have been given by God in some way for a purpose. What is the purpose? I pray to the Lord God. Glorify Him. Help each other. Yeah, what's the command that you share with? Love one another. Exactly, as I have loved you. So it's about serving our brothers and sisters in the family of faith, loving our neighbors as ourselves, and it brings us right back to that command. Love one another as I have loved you. It is the life of God, all of our work, in whatever form, is intended to be, we're following Jesus, is intended to be the life of God expressed through God's people. What is not the purpose of our gifts, our talents, and our activities?
Self-serving.
Self-serving, showing off, yep. What's that?
Boasting.
Boasting, yep.
Greed.
Greed, right. Putting others down. All of those are not the purpose. And here's something else that Barb actually brought up. It is not to earn our salvation. None of the things that God has given us to do is so that we can earn our salvation. So we talked about in the first sermon in the series, we talked about how busyness has become kind of a problem in our culture. If someone wanted to hang out with me and I said to them, I'm trying to create boundaries in my life, and so I don't have time this nearby time block to hang out with you, but I can schedule you in 2 months. They would be offended. But if I say, I'm so busy, everyone's like, oh yeah, okay, I get it, but I'm busy too. We're all busy, right? And the busy is like the thing that makes us feel like we have value, we're important, and then they are also like, oh well, you're important and I'm also busy, I'm also important. And so we all understand that we're busy. And busy is kind of like earning our salvation on a human level. We earn our money through being productive, which often means being busy. We earn our peers and our colleagues and even our friends and family's approval or respect by being busy. We earn our value by what we can accomplish. And so it can become, as some of you mentioned, and as the Apostle Paul mentioned, the source of pride, or even the center of our identity. And if you think about it, if you consider yourself a busy person, just maybe not right now, but take a few minutes, maybe after church, after our meeting, and ask yourself the question, if I am not doing something, who am I? We have a society where we have built ourselves on what we do, and it is very hard for us to, we can say we get our salvation by grace alone, but it is really hard for us to know that, because everything we earn is by what we do in our natural lives. But our identity, our real identity, comes from God alone. Our status, our relationship with God, is not earned. We cannot earn our salvation. So none of the works that God has given us to do are about earning our salvation. But we can work it out, as it says in our responsive reading, We can work out our salvation. That doesn't mean earning it. It means if we have accepted Jesus' reconciling sacrifice for us, if we have signed up to be his apprentices and disciples, if the Holy Spirit is residing in our spirits, our lives will be an expression of that fact, of our salvation. So all of our work is the expression of our salvation through our work, our activity. So let's look over this passage from Ephesians. In verses 4 and 5, Paul says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." We can't even earn a little bit of it at all. This is totally counterintuitive to how our society works and to how we work. And this is why I'm reemphasizing at the end of this series what we said at the beginning, Jesus' yoke, Jesus' way of bearing the burden of the world, which we still have to do, is easy. Easier than the world's way, easier than our way. So the trellis that we've been constructing over the past 6 weeks is not intended to be a way to overextend ourselves by adding into our existing schedules more gospel. More church stuff. It's not like you take your schedule and you figure out what you already have to do and then you try to squeeze in some more God things. That's not what this is. The trellis is a way to make God, to just stop everything and make God the starting point for everything else. We do not need to just make ourselves more busy with God things to get him to notice us or to earn our salvation. You want to know how much God noticed you? How much he blessed you? Verse 6. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. This is kind of a weird verse. It's saying we are, by God's grace, through Jesus' death and resurrection and perfect goodness, in some mysterious way, already in the heavenly realms with Jesus. Even while we're still living busy, complicated, sometimes even painful lives here. In verse 7, in order, so God has raised us up with Christ, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So during the final reconciliation of all things, our status in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus and our lives here on earth will be reconciled too. And in that coming age, God's rich grace to us, expressed through Jesus, will be clearly seen and fulfilled. So in the here and now, we work out our salvation, the salvation we have already received, free of charge, from Jesus, by living toward that day when our life here and our life with Jesus in the heavenly places will be fully reconciled. The Apostle Paul repeats himself in verse 8, in case we didn't get it the first time. It is by grace you have been saved. Through faith, and this is your faith. So even our faith, we didn't come up with ourselves. Through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast.
Yeah.
How we live toward the reconciliation of our lives is to do the work here at church, but also in our jobs, in school, in our homes, that expresses our salvation and that God has assigned to each one of us. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. This trellis that we've been making is how we start to discern. Not what we think we need to do, not what our boss thinks we need to do, not what our family thinks we need to do, what God has already prepared in advance for us to do. The easy yoke. The way we bear his fruit of loving one another as he has loved us. So, we're going to wrap this talk up and wrap the trellis up today. So when you get home, make yourself a grid. Now you don't just have one category of this, you have all of them. You could do daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, yearly, under the time slot, but I think it's a little easier to do it this way. Make sure that you have all five of those categories: time, trust, temple, treasure, and talent. And then, first of all, before you enter anything, any of your existing schedule, anything, enter the first fruits of each section. Everything that intentionally builds up your relationship with God. So, like we talked about, daily quiet time, prayer, meditation, Bible reading with the Lord, once a week, Sabbath of some sort, a day where it is dedicated to God. You might have some other thing that helps you. I've discovered that exercising daily is actually part of my prayer now. It didn't start out that way. Sometimes it's prayer, help, because it's hard. But that is a way that I feel like I can set aside my body for God. So you can be a little bit creative about that. I want to emphasize the Bible reading portion, because here's a little advertisement for our next series, which is coming up for Lent, which starts next week. We are going to be doing the first half of a series called Casket Empty. This is not something that I created myself, although I would be still ready to talk to myself. It's an acronym, and Casket is the part we're going to be going through first. It's a two-book series. Can find it online. This is the Old Testament that we're going to be talking about first through all of Lent, to give us a context for why we need Good Friday and Easter in the first place. I think it's really easy for us to say we're Christians, we're resurrection people, we're free from the law. We don't really need to look at the Old Testament. The Old Testament is how we got here. So it is really important for all God's people to know what is in there. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be really hard to talk about the whole Old Testament in 7 weeks. So, what is going to happen is, I will, if you're in the Facebook group, you can do this. If you're not, talk to me afterwards so I can figure out the appropriate way to get these passages. But I will post every week certain relevant key passages to give you a little bit of background before I talk about the next section of the Old Testament that we're going to look at. And as we're going through it, I hope that you will notice what interests you, especially if you're not familiar with the Old Testament, because maybe at some point this year or maybe early next year we can focus in a little bit more on section. But I really encourage you to definitely in your travels put in a dedicated point of time so you can do these readings, keep your notebooks, and write questions that you have, things that you're thinking, that totally didn't make sense, or that's interesting, I never realized that before, or whatever. Just keep your notebooks, because I think they're going to be useful in the future. And then, so after you put your first fruits of your different activities into your trellis, then prayerfully insert everything else. There may be some things that you're doing right now in your schedule that if you were praying about it, God's like, you know what, this is a good thing for you to do, but you do not need to do this anymore. Sometimes those things are hard to let go. And so it might take a little while, but take this seriously, really do pray about it, because I think God will show you what he wants, so that your life can be a little bit more sane, so that you can grow and hopefully on the vine and bear the fruit that he wants us to bear. Then after you've done it, can you put the next slide in there? So these are my first fruits, and I just put all of those in the time. You can probably interpret that. And then the third slide, I put my, you don't have to be able to read these, this is my personal trellis, more or less. It's still a work in progress, but you can make yours something like that and print it up or write it up and put it somewhere where you can refer. refer to it regularly. Here's a little tip that I just kind of discovered myself too. And I don't know if you can get these anymore at this time of year, but if you can, they're probably on sale. Get yourself a day planner that has, that breaks your, a page a day and it breaks it down into the hours. And write down, I do it a month at a time, all of your existing commitments, even if it's something you do every day. I write feed the dog in mine, just because I'm trying to incorporate all of my life into the life of Christ. And so I have, so I don't just put my appointments and things in here, but I also put all of the pieces of my health. It's much easier to keep track of what I intend to do, whether I actually get it done or not. It's there, and I don't forget it. And now it starts to gradually become more and more of a pattern. Something to keep in mind. Your trellis is a trellis. It's not a monolith. It's not a statue. It's not this thing carved in stone. It's not the Ten Commandments coming down from Mount Sinai. It is something for you, a branch attached to Jesus Christ, to grow on hopefully. So it's not going to go perfectly every week. It's going to be a work in progress. You might write it up and then be like, this is totally not working. I guess I need to think about this some more and do something else. It's okay. This isn't something to give you more pressure or more guilt. This is something to take that on. If you start working on this and you find yourself feeling more pressured and more guilty, please come talk to me and let's like work on it together. Because I'm serious, I think I have found it incredibly freeing. Even though I don't get it right every week, and so I really would love for this to be helpful for all of us. In a year, maybe we'll review together and see how it went, and we can all do another one. We won't do the whole same series, though. For now, let's pray that God will help us build and connect with our trellises the way He wants us to, which will best enable us to work out our salvation and do the good work that God has prepared in advance. Lord God, we thank you that you call us to a life of striving or pointless busyness or earning our salvation. We thank you that our identity is in you through Christ Jesus. And we really want to do the work that you have prepared for us to do, because that is the way that we can carry the easy road instead of the difficult one that the world has put on us. We want to live in the freedom for which Christ has set us free.